According to Luke, the women went to the tomb when it was deep dawn. Now, the translation I just read said very early in the morning, and a number of translations say that. But I don't think that's really quite the right translation. I think that Luke wants us to know that all of these events started when it was still deep dawn. In the original Greek, those words are orthru bathios. And Luke is the only gospel to use those two specific words, deep dawn. Now, when is deep dawn? When does deep dawn end and twilight begin? In one sense, it's impossible to say. I have no idea what the sound the crack of dawn makes because I've never heard it. I've always thought of it as a metaphor. And I've never seen the dawn break. I mean, I have noticed the sun the moment that it emerges above the eastern horizon, but I've also noticed how the sky itself is the same color 1 second after sunrise as it was 1 second before sunrise. Dawn doesn't break or crack so much as it unfolds. The night's darkness turns itself by infinitesimally small degrees into the day's new light. Retired Presbyterian pastor and poet Jim Lowry has a poignant description of deep dawn. He writes, "Deep dawn is that indefinable time between darkness and light, that time when the promise in which you believe is true or the promise in which you believe is a lie. Deep dawn is when our faith is tested. Deep dawn is when our dreams have crumbled and plans are gone, and no new ideas have yet arisen. The boss calls you in to tell you of changes. The doctor calls you in to tell you the results of the latest CT scan, but first asks whether or not you're there alone, and if you'd rather wait until a loved one or a trusted friend can be there with you. The school calls to tell you about the incident. Your spouse calls you from a distant city to tell you their plans. Deep dawn might be when it finally dawns on you that you're powerless over your addiction. Deep dawn, of course, can happen at any time of day or night. And I remember a deep dawn in my own life. My father had just died, and my mother wanted him buried in a new suit. We had searched the closet for a suit to give the funeral home, and it was obvious that my father hadn't bought a new suit in years. I didn't necessarily think that we needed to buy a brand new suit just to put in the ground, but my mother was very traditional about viewings and doing everything in a proper way, so I went with her wishes. And we went to the clothing store, and we circled around the first floor. And without realizing it, we had both walked right past the men's department twice. We were both walking around in a daze. We were still in shock. My father had been diagnosed with a cancer only 1 week before he died, and now he was gone. That visit to the department store, I believe, happened in the afternoon, but emotionally and spiritually, it was deep dawn. Again, in Lowry's words, deep dawn is when the promise in which you believe is true or the promise in which you believe is a lie. And whenever we find ourselves in deep dawn, it helps to seek out perspective. For example, with astronomy, from the perspective of outer space, there's a much clearer division between the sunlit side of the Earth and the side that faces away from the sun. From space, you can see that arched line that clearly divides night from day. And spiritually and emotionally, the way to get a clearer perspective on deep dawn is to remember. That's what the two mysterious messengers, told the women at the tomb. They said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then the women remembered Jesus' words, remember. Now, Luke doesn't say specifically what the women remembered, but maybe we can imagine. Maybe they remembered something about how Jesus would turn his head to one side when he listened. Or maybe they recalled other mannerisms and the tenor of his speech patterns when he taught. Maybe they remember the carpenter's calloused hands. And surely they remember how Jesus healed a man who was paralyzed and gave sight to a man who had been blind, and how he allowed a hemorrhaging woman to touch him, and how he healed her from her 18-year-long affliction. They remember how one time he fed more people than they could possibly count. They remember how he had raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, how he said that the little girl wasn't dead, even though she was, and then he told her to wake up, and she did. Maybe they remembered that. And we can imagine how these women, perhaps with their tear-streaked faces still facing the ground, how they turned from the two men and looked over to the empty tomb and remembered how Jesus didn't just talk about sacrificing and dying, he did both of those things. And they remember how Jesus talked about rising from the grave on the third day. And then they begin to believe that maybe the promise that they've trusted is true, that Jesus has risen, just like he said. And then it wasn't long before they dropped the burial perfumes and took off running to tell the others what they had found and what the mysterious messengers had said. In the words of one preacher, their deep remembering turned into passionate acting. And so I say to us, and me included, what those mysterious men said to the women. Remember. Remember the impact of Jesus' teachings on your own life. Remember the people in your life who have been Jesus to you because of how they accepted you and embraced you. Remember those times in your life when you believed that Jesus was present. Remember the time when you first fell in love with Jesus. And maybe you remember what it was about Jesus that made you want to follow him in the first place. And for any of us who may be living through a personal time of deep dawn. For any of us who believe that the time in which we live is its own kind of deep dawn, especially with everything that's happening in our country and in the wider world, for any of us experiencing deep dawn, there is a word of hope. Remember, remember. As someone said, every new life begins in the darkness of the womb. Every new plant starts as a seed in the darkness of the soil. Every new idea begins in a brain that is encased in the darkness of a skull. And every new day begins at midnight while the sun is on the far side of the world. And remember that because Jesus lives, we too shall live. And our own remembering will turn into passionate living and acting. A woman named Angie gave her testimony one Sunday in worship. And she said, "I know that Jesus is alive because he lives in me." She then told how she was abused by her father, how she fell into despair and alcoholism, became HIV positive. But she found a small, quirky, urban church in the South Bronx. She started attending worship. She took part in Bible studies. And bit by bit, she rose from the grave of her life. She said, "I am now alive because Jesus Christ lives in me and through me." And in church that day, there happened to be a partner from a prestigious law firm in Manhattan. He had gone to this quirky little church because he had heard that it was a quirky little church, and he was curious. And he was moved by Angie's testimony. And he was going through a point in his life where he knew that he had been successful. He felt that he had been successful. But he wondered about what it would mean to be significant. And he remembered his own grandmother's words, a very faithful Christian. How she would quote the gospel where Jesus said, "What does it profit someone to gain the whole world and lose their own soul?" And he was haunted by those words. And he was coming to a point where he realized he had to do something about it. And so he got to know the people who went to this quirky little church. And he heard about a number of people who were really struggling to maintain housing and how many of the landlords had been very abusive. And so he thought, "Well, I can do some pro bono work." And he started sending letters to the abusive landlords on his law firm stationery and found that it was quickly getting some results. And when people asked him about it, he would just smile and say, "I just love working for justice." Dear friends, may our own remembering turn itself into passionate living and acting. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.